This is Jay Sekulow, a major FBI agent involved in the Russia hoax, revealed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, when I went to the floor, of the United States Senate it's been a month, actually. The trial was 2.5 weeks, but we started about almost a month ago to the day. I started the conversation by addressing the fact that you could not look at the Senate impeachment proceedings in a vacuum, that that wouldn't be a fair way to address any of this, that you had to look at it in the context of what had taken place. And I started it with Crossfire Hurricane, which was the investigation that was targeting, obviously, the president's campaign a year before the Mueller probe even took place. What's now come out is an FBI agent faulted with probably the most significant problems laid out in the Justice Department Inspector General report. Remember, the FBI was being reviewed by the Michael Horowitz, the DOJ Inspector General, for FISA abuse, has been identified. The agent is Stephen Samoa. He's a counterintelligence investigator who works out of the New York field office. He was case agent one. The IG was very strong in stating that they mishandled information, refused to turn over documents. In fact, Harry refused to turn over exculpatory documents.
Absolutely. So one of the things to keep in mind is this entire history. So we have Crossfire Hurricane. Then we have spying on the Trump campaign via fraudulently obtained FISA warrants. Then we had the Mueller inquiry. And then we had the impeachment. All of these issues, all of these cases were grounded largely in deceptive and fraudulent statements. There was no basis in fact for any of these investigations. And yet we still hear sounds from Adam Schiff and others that they still need to do additional information. But they don't necessarily want an investigation to start with the facts. They want to start with the conclusion.
You know, it's interesting. The IG said that this individual, quote, was primarily responsible for some of the most significant errors and omissions. Now, one of the omissions that I think is clear here, the Samoa's initial request, remember, to the FISA courts was rejected. And then FBI later approved a FISA warrant on Carter Page after the Bureau received information from the former British spy Christopher Steele. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into finding out that that information, the information that they gathered this from, was not accurate. This FBI agent, Wes, knew it.
Absolutely.
And didn't share that.
Right. The primary subsource he would find out said that Steele's information was not accurate. It was not true, some of it. And he failed to reveal that to his supervisor. You can't overstate the seriousness of this. And there was a lot of murky bleed over, Jay, of responsibilities. The person in charge of verifying FISA applicant information as being accurate should not be also a person submitting information into the FISA warrant application. He was doing both of those. And so the murky, sort of muddy area of responsibilities was part of the reason, I think, that this happened.
Yeah, it was interesting because in the dossier, Steele alleged that Carter Page was, quote, a key player in Trump's campaign, well-developed conspiracy of cooperation with the Russian government to influence the 2016 election, which, of course, Bob Mueller ultimately rejects. But then, of course, the question was this agent on Bob Mueller's team as well. What part of that agent's work, including, remember, they prosecuted George Papadopoulos. There's information we're going to get to after the break that they had exculpatory evidence on George Papadopoulos and didn't present it. Let me tell you something. That is very, very serious. All right, we're taking your calls in reaction to all this. We're talking about the state of the race also coming up. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me tell you something else. We are about 2% behind from where we need to be last year as far as our online support goes for the ACLJ. We'd encourage you to stand with us. We got two critical votes scheduled tomorrow in the U.S. Senate, both defending life. Your work and support for the ACLJ lets us be in the House and the Senate working on these critical issues, standing for life. Go to ACLJ.org for that, ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The FBI agent that was in charge of verifying the accuracy of information included in the FISA applications has been identified. His name is Stephen Samoa. More important than that, he was the FBI handler of Stephen Harper. He was a former Cambridge professor who met with and secretly recorded Trump campaign aides, Carter Page, Sam Clovis, and George Papadopoulos. What's interesting here is that Samoa's initial requests, of course, were rejected, but ultimately they did get the FISA warrants. They had evidence that was exculpatory. The Inspector General report said that Samoa failed to disclose potentially exculpatory information that Page and Papadopoulos told Harper. He also failed to disclose that the CIA told him on August 15, 2016, that Page had been an operational contact for the agency years earlier. So, Harry, I look at this and I say that in and of itself, the fact that they had exculpatory evidence, they didn't bring it to light. They went after Carter Page. They ended up not prosecuting Carter Page, but they did prosecute George Papadopoulos, but ended up being for a false statement to an FBI agent. This smelled from the very beginning.
Absolutely, and it smells of a conspiracy. So Soma failed to disclose exculpatory information with respect to Carter Page. Carter Page had been working for the U.S. government as a source of information, and then they went after Carter Page for essentially relying on contacts, which he had actually willingly shared with the intelligence community, and then they say, oh, he is an agent. Why? My view is because it was a pretextual move so they could spy on the Trump campaign and claimed that there was a probable cause. Then they went out and they got these four FISA warrants, again, I would argue, without probable cause, in violation of Carter Page's Fourth Amendment rights. And arguably, someone within the FBI, whether it's Stephen Soma, whether it's Kevin Kleinsmith, or
well,
whether
it's who Kevin Kleinsmith is. He was the FBI lawyer that was alleged to have changed evidence that was actually submitted to the FISA court.
Correct.
Which caused the FISA court to issue two orders.
Right.
Calling for a review of everything because right. of basically tampering with evidence.
And so there's a series of 17 errors. These errors are actually repeated throughout these four applications. And I think if you do that, What we have is a total of 51 errors with respect to the FISA applications. And so this is fraud based on fraud. And then the question becomes, was there political bias? Now, the IG claims that he could not adduce proof of political bias. But in my view, there is no other explanation for these errors. A first month FBI agent, someone who is just starting, should not make these types of errors. An individual who's just graduated from law school should not make these kinds of errors unless what we're talking about is intentionality, we're talking about malice, and we're talking about culpability.
So according to the IG report, the Steele source, referred to as the primary subsource, told FBI agents that Steele misrepresented information attributed to him in the dossier, including information about Carter Page. The FBI and DOJ failed to disclose the information in its final two applications for FISA orders on Page. The IG report said Soma failed to disclose that exculpatory evidence. Wes?
Again, you can't overstate how serious this is. This guy was in charge of verifying information for everyone's FISA warrant applications. That's what he did for the FBI. Now he is putting information into it when he's in charge of verifying it. And of course, he really deceived the court. And when his first two FISA warrant applications were rejected, what does he do? He changes the evidence in it. He overstates some things, omits other things, simply in order to achieve the end that he is seeking. And I tell you what, Jay, what this also brings into question, this case is getting a lot of attention. It's under the microscope. But the question that I think about is how many other cases might have been handled in similar ways? How many other investigations in FISA warrant applications have been tainted by agents like this man and others? It calls into question the integrity of the whole process.
That's why the FISA court issued those two orders, which said that they were misrepresented to. They want to know what the corrective efforts are, and they want to get to the bottom of them themselves. We're going to talk in the next segment about what Senator Graham's doing, but it goes a step further. So the primary subsource says Steele misrepresented information. This is the primary subsource. Mm-hmm. Yet when they go to get the reapplications of the FISA warrants, they don't bring that up. They don't disclose that to the FISA court. So a fraud has been committed on the court. Now, the FBI has come back, and the Department of Justice has come back and said they deem the two orders to be invalid because of their process. But that retroactive acknowledgement, Harry, doesn't fix the problem.
No, first, it doesn't fix the problem with respect to the violation of Carter Page's rights. Second, it doesn't fix the problem with respect to creating a false predicate to maintain an investigation on the duly elected president of the United States. Third, the FBI, through their misrepresentations, have at least impaired and in some cases crippled the ability of the Trump administration to focus on other issues that would benefit the American people. So at the end of the day, the Democrats keep talking about, for instance, an attack on our democracy. Well, it turns out that the FBI was leading the attack on our democracy. The FBI effectively was interfering in our elections. The FBI was undermining the integrity of our election system. So at the end of the day, to the extent that there was any interference in the 2016 election, guess what? It was an inside job.
Yep. Robbie on Facebook said, is the cover-up worse than the crime here? Well, there was no crime. I mean, that's what the Department of the Mueller report said. There was no Russia collusion. That didn't take place. So the cover-up is the FBI's own cover-up of their dirty deeds. Let's take Ben. He's calling from Maryland on line two. Ben, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, sir.
I totally admire you guys. Jay, I've been watching you for years. Just completely love what you're doing.
Thanks.
But you know what? After a year or so, it's like, how long are we going to march around Jericho? Destroy the place already. We need some convictions. We need people prosecuted. we keep talking about the evidence day after day after day, but nothing seems to be happening.
Well, there is something happening. I mean, you've got a whole investigation going on by U.S. Attorney John Durham. He's doing a top-to-bottom review of this. The FISA court itself is doing a review, but John Durham is digging deep to find the origins of this investigation. And we'll point out when he does his report, if there are irregularities or violations of the law, that'll be pointed out. And I'm sure if there are, and I don't know the contents of his, I have no idea where his report's going, but if it does, if he does follow the evidence that he finds, and if that evidence does in fact point to criminality, I expect people will be held accountable. It takes time. That's the way the process works. So, you know, don't lose hope on this. We've been able to point out the irregularities of this, which have showed that this entire thing was a farce. From the very, very beginning. That's what this is all about. And Wes, I look at this, you know, you've handled classified information before. If you would have done this inside the military, you'd have been court-martialed.
Absolutely. And if the average person did this, if someone who's not in the FBI did this kind of thing and misled the FBI, who misled a court, they would be prosecuted and imprisoned. Apparently, the only people that can lie to the FBI are the other FBI agents. They can do it and get away with it, but the rest of us can't.
No, that apparently is the case. Now, Harry, there's frustration out there, but these things, as they're uncovered, and these investigations take time, people are getting impatient, which I understand, but the reality is you've got to cover a lot of material here. This investigation went on for 3 years.
I think that is correct. And so, for instance, if you look at all of the IG's report, if you look at all of the pages accumulated in Bob Mueller's report, if you look at all of the individuals, all of the players involved, there is a deep dive required in order to fully understand the depth of cravenness that arguably went on both in the FBI and the Department of Justice. Also keep in mind that these bureaucrats are incredibly skillful in terms of evading being caught or being held responsible. So I think we have to take all of that in mind, and I think we need to trust in the process that Attorney General Barr has initiated through John Durham.
I think that's right. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into what Senator Graham had to say about all this. He's concerned, as you can imagine. We also encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We've got two major votes going up on the Senate tomorrow on issues involving life. Your support allows our government affairs team to be there front and center, standing for a life of the unborn. So we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We encourage you to do that right away. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. After a long absence, host of the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, heard exclusively on either through podcasts or on radio stations in the Orlando area. So you needed me to sub in, and I said, fine, I'll come.
Yeah, I just want to
Most people think
voice.
That I just disappeared for 3 or 4 years. So I'm still here. I'm here. And we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you have a question or comment related to this, and we're going to get into politics coming up in the next segment as well. So we're going to talk about, obviously, Bernie Sanders becoming potentially, most likely, I mean, he is the front runner at this point, and what it means for the future of 2020 and the future of America as we know it. Yeah. So with that, let's go ahead and hit the phones. Let's go to Jerry, Rhode Island, on line three.
Jerry's going to ask the $60 million question. Go ahead, Jerry.
Welcome back, Logan. We can take your picture off the milk carton now. I thought you were lost.
I'm still here. I'm just like on the other side. You just can't see me.
I thought they sent you off to law school or something.
A lot of people think that. Yeah. There was no more seats. They were filled with all professors. And they was like, well, what am I doing here? So when called upon, you know, you got to stand up. You got to do what you got to do. So, but Jerry, thank you.
The question is, and it's the same, we've been doing this FBI question, is there anybody, you can hear the listeners, like the guy from Jericho comment, is Seminoa or whatever, is he still working, is he still a clearance, is Kleinsmith reported to his Bar Association for Professional Courtesy or Professional Responsibility? We're all asking, are these guys
so
still
Klein
working?
So was Kleinsmith, the FBI lawyer, was referred to the actual U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., for contemplation of prosecution. As it relates to Samoa, what we know so far is that he's been sent over for disciplinary review. Now, that may be a precursor to other things. We don't know that, but I think it's very clear, and I think this is important to reiterate again, Harry, that what you have here, though, is a process. There is a thorough review going down right now by John Durham, going on right now.
I think that's true, and in addition to John Durham's investigation, which I believe will be thorough, the Office of Professional Responsibility, which is an internal department in the FBI, is apparently reviewing the conduct of some of the FBI agents. But I think the caller, Jerry, makes a very good point. Listeners who have been following this entire saga, which actually commenced in at least 2016, if not earlier, a saga that has involved Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and their conversations about creating an insurance policy in Andrew McCabe's office. All of these issues go back, most of them, to James Comey's tenure as the FBI. I think listeners want to see action. However, in the United States, particularly when we're dealing with bureaucrats who are often well-lawyered themselves, it's more important for the investigation to be extremely thorough and extremely competent. At the end of the day, what we want is not simply a charge. We want a charge and hopefully a conviction to the extent that the evidence warrants it.
Let's go ahead and set up what's going on on the Senate side of this. So Lindsey Graham talked about this before the impeachment proceedings began, and now they've been concluded successfully. So now we have a situation where he is wanting to know some issues that he wants decided before the Judiciary Committee. Here's what Lindsey Graham had to say.
I also want to know, in July of 2016, they tried to get a warrant and it was turned down. Mm. And it was McCabe that suggested the FBI Washington office go to New York. They've got something in New York that might help you. It was the Russian dossier. So who told McCabe that the document was in New York? And if McCabe thought it would help him with the warrant, why didn't he spend some time trying to find out if it was reliable?
So the first thing Lindsey Graham said he wants to ask is, he wants to talk to the Russian subsource or people who heard from the Russian subsource so that the dossier was a bunch of talk and hearsay and wasn't accurate, and there was no mention of, in this, of when the reports were going on. Of course, none of this was shared with the FISA court.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the most troubling aspects of this. The information that was actually withheld. And, you know, I understand the caller's, you know, concerns about, is anything going to happen? Are there going to be repercussions? Will some of these people be held accountable? And I think you're right, Jay. We have to follow the process. John Durham is a key part of that. Senator Graham, his committee hearings that he is planning on doing is a part of that. Also, it's not getting much press today, but Jerry Nadler and the Judiciary Committee in the House, they are marking up a bill that will seriously address some of this, and it has bipartisan support, because after 9/11, the way that the FISA Act has been implemented and the ability to collect metadata and to spy on citizens, all of that, which was a legitimate reaction post 9/11, there are questions in both the House and the Senate. How much of that do we still need to keep in place? How much of it needs to go away? So the House of Representatives, the Judiciary Committee, is actually working on some of this too. So I think the end result, I think this will be fixed. But in the meantime, we cannot overstate the seriousness of the misdeeds by people in the Department of Justice and in the FBI itself.
I think that's serious. Go ahead, Logan.
All right. No, I was going to say, as we head into the next segment, we are going to start shifting. Now, I want to say, before we shift to politics, what can people do for this when it comes to these kind of things? How can people interact? How can they support the work, obviously, of the ACLJ? But what is actually the logical next step?
So, you know, we've done this too. We have a government accountability project at the American Center for Law and Justice, and that project files Freedom of Information Act requests at appropriate times on appropriate agencies to get to the bottom of some of this. So your support of the work of the ACLJ obviously helps us in that front. Now, as it relates to these issues, we brought these issues public. I brought a lot of these issues public on the floor of the United States Senate. So that's, I mean, in one sense, right, you know, we've done that, but they're
for
ongoing. We'll continue.
For the listeners, get involved. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign a petition, support the work of the ACLJ. There's always something new being posted each and every day. You can see news, petition, videos, watch this broadcast live. You're just listening over the air. You're missing half the fun. You can watch it on Facebook. That's at Facebook.com/JSeculo. You can find it on Twitter at Twitter, at JSeculo. We're broadcasting video full television style. So if you're just listening on the air, which I know most of you are, you can really engage in a different way and get your comments in. We're going to get some comments as well. As we shift, though, to a more politically centered show, obviously we saw over the weekend, Joe Biden, what happened to him? What happened to Buttigieg? What happened to all these people? By a whopping margin, Bernie Sanders has taken most certainly the front runner spot. Yeah. You can't even question it at this point. And here's the deal. I want to know from you, what does Bernie Sanders America look like to you? Give us a call. I want to know your thoughts and your opinions. Give me a comment too, because obviously we've seen him make some comments this weekend. Loving on Cuba, loving on Fidel Castro.
We've seen him. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, seen him obviously not supporting Israel as usual, and a lot of other comments. So what do you think the Bernie Sanders 2021 looks like? I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook. This is going to be a fun second half hour. I appreciate you having me back. Yeah, I've been, thankfully, there's just a few seats empty today, so I was able to fill it up.
Well, you have a new show, too. You could talk about
that. I do have a new show. If you're listening and you want something maybe a little bit more hard-edged and a little bit more bizarre and funny, still in the realm of conservative politics, you can find the Logan Seculo Reprogram. We broadcast each and every day, 5 a.m. Eastern Time. Prime times. I call it America's prime time. 5 a.m. on Florida Man Radio. That is in the Orlando area, but now available online, LoganSecularReprogram.com. We had John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard in Smallville, and you just know him as from everything. We had him on today's show, so you can find that online. Again, that is at ACLJ.org to support the work.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
No, it's not. Not right now. He's here, but this is Logan Sekulow. After a long absence, I have returned to the airwaves.
By the way, the phone lines are jammed up.
Well, I wonder why.
Because you're back.
Because, yeah, I know how to pitch to phone calls. That's what I was good at a couple years ago. That's what I'm good at today still. I just was flexing my muscle to see. See? Look, I still know what I'm doing here. Phone lines lighting up. We're going to get to a lot of those a little bit. We were asking about what your thoughts on what a Bernie Sanders America looked like, and I feel like a lot of you have some comments to say about that. And the reason we said that, obviously, is over the weekend, the Nevada caucus happened.
Blew it out.
And, I mean, within, what, 2 minutes of reporting, they had called it for Bernie Sanders. Almost immediately, Fox did. I think CNN, just a few hours later, decided maybe we'll call it. But I think that's because they were in panic mode. And I think Bernie Sanders, as much as people wanted to joke around about it last time, this becomes a real serious thing. And when you look at people's responses, I don't mean this at all like hyperbolically. Looking at, people look at these policies and go, these are crazy policies. I'm concerned, though, when you look at it, that this is a grassroots following. There's a lot of it's not unlike the Trump campaign, where there's a lot of people who aren't necessarily going to publicly post about it, but are in support of it.
And they're showing up.
And they are different voters. They're not just your typical run-of-the-mill voters. There are people who, there are a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who voted for Trump last time because he wasn't the nominee.
Yeah.
So that obviously puts the whole thing into
a
different world. Instead, if it was Joe Biden, I feel like it'd be a pretty standard way of how you could roll out a political campaign. It just feels very traditional. But now you have two polar opposites, but in some ways have some middle ground with Trump and Bernie. And if they get to be at the debate stage,
both disruptors.
I got to get a ticket to a debate. It will be just a blast to watch these two go.
The interesting thing was that the results in Nevada came back, and literally within 3 or 4 minutes, they called it based on 2% of the polling. But that percentage, West, of his lead
so
stayed consistent throughout the entire night.
Absolutely. And it was a bit of a surprise because the prognosticators were saying that the unions, which are large enough, were going to back Biden because they didn't want to lose their health insurance, and that did not happen. But back to what Logan is saying, Sanders is leading an emotional movement. And it's not well thought out either by him as far as the price tag or by the people who are supporting him. And the people that support him, because it's an emotional political movement, they're not realizing the cost, not only financially, but the loss of freedom, the cost there as the government would take more and more control of your life. Are you willing to give up your freedom for in college education, tuition as a basic entitlement, the end of fracking and coal mining with the loss of thousands of jobs, health care to illegal immigrants, all of these things? Are you willing to give up your freedom in order to have an America that looks like Bernie Sanders' vision of America?
It was interesting because Pete Buttigieg, Logan, put out a very strong statement during the debate, but he's followed it up, and of course so did Elizabeth Warren. They both went after Bernie. That was their job, and it did not lay a glove on him.
No, and I think when you had that mixed with the Bloomberg situation, all it did was elevate Bernie to be someone who at least... I think that's the biggest thing people look at, is they don't necessarily always support Bernie Sanders, but you can look back at 30, 40 years of service and go, the guy's been pretty consistent. He has believed the same crazy things for 30 or 40 years. And I think for a lot of young voters, that's refreshing when they're used to seeing very big flip-flops on issues or going by party lines. This guy has been an independent, has not even been a Democrat for how long?
Until he ran for president.
Right. So you're talking about, and I would say that's similar to President Trump. These are not people who would have identified themselves necessarily as Republicans or Democrats at the time. They are independent, different kind of guys. And we're going to see an interesting battle if it shakes out the way it looks like it. And what? Never before has someone won all three and not gone to nomination. So it'll be an interesting time.
You got South Carolina.
Super Tuesday is coming up, next week or 2 weeks from now?
Saturday is South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Tuesday is Super Tuesday.
A week from tomorrow.
And how do these candidates, Harry, have the money to support? I mean, you got 20 seconds here, but...
They don't. Other than Bloomberg and probably Sanders, I think Biden is holding on by his toenails.
Yeah.
And the other candidates, I think, are essentially gone.
It's okay. $300 million goes a long way. When they start throwing those numbers out there, you just look at it and go...
Bloomberg's, that's what he spent so far.
All of these millions, hundreds of millions... They probably could be used for better causes. But we'll be back in just a little bit. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to get to your calls. We got a few people calling in, Tom and Susan, and tons of people joining us. We'll get to them soon. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow sitting in the host chair right now, but Jay Sekulow is here.
Commenting.
Yeah, commenting. Taking your calls and comments. I'm just the moderator here today, so welcome. Hope you've enjoyed
your
weekend.
You do have your own program now.
I do. You keep saying that.
I know. I have my own show. I do. Like watching it.
I do have a show on Monday through Friday. We drop a new episode at 6 a.m. on the podcast feeds. That is at LoganSekuloReprogram.com, or you can find our Facebook group. And we talk about some things that you hear on this show. It's a little bit more... It's a little more raucous, a little bit more rowdy at 5 a.m. We get you up pretty excited. And with that, we do talk politics. We have one, either you or Jordan on once a week, typically, to really deep dive into politics. But it all kind of comes from a comedy talk, but with an aggressive slant. So you can watch it. We're a conservative slant.
You want to play the Buttigieg bite?
Sure. We got that. Let's hear from Pete Buttigieg.
I believe we need to defeat Donald Trump and turn the page on this era in our politics by establishing a tone of belonging, bringing an end to the viciousness and the bullying that is tearing apart our country. We must change what it feels like to live in the United States of America. And that is a real difference from Senator Sanders' revolution with the tenor of combat and division and polarization leading to a future where whoever wins the day, nothing changes the toxic tone of our politics.
You kind of pointed your point out.
Yeah,
that it's similar strategies.
Yeah, and sadly, I don't think Mayor Pete's living in 2020, and it's just not that world anymore. And not that I don't wish it was. And I had family in town over the weekend. This kind of split. They both love President Trump, but one was like, "Yeah, I wish he wouldn't, you know, act like this or say these things on Twitter." And then the other person, the younger person in the room, said, "Oh, it's my favorite part is that he's saying the stuff we all think." So it is this weird mix of old school and new school, and people have concerns. And yeah, Mayor Pete comes up and he you know does his Barack Obama impersonation and it's great, and I think he is a well-spoken guy, but unfortunately I don't think we're there right now, and the reason Bernie's gonna, I believe, become the nominee is because this is going to be, they know they have to put someone up who can really also handle President Trump. And I mean that the voters, I don't mean the party. The party doesn't want it.
No, clearly.
But the voters, I think, know if you're even gonna have a chance, you have to have someone who can go toe-to-toe with the great one. And I think that will be really difficult for a lot of these guys. I mean, can you imagine a Pete Buttigieg, Donald Trump debate? It just doesn't it doesn't even seem like it'd be fun to watch. I mean, when you think about it, just as a TV person, it would be, a guy making statements and then Trump making jokes, and it wouldn't work. But when you have someone who's aggressive in New York, like Donald Trump, and is kind of aggressive in New York and Vermont as Bernie Sanders, those guys will throw down. And I think there is that part of them going, okay, if we're going to go hardcore. And, you know, maybe there isn't a middle ground anymore. Maybe it will be hard left and hard right, which is sad, but it's also where we are in 2020. If you want Pete Buttigieg, good luck in 2024. I think, honestly, that's not a bad idea to be at that point and say, we need to reel it back. I think that's when Michelle Obama and all of them will start to show up, because there will be a want to take back sort of the civility that comes with politics. But right now, you're not going to have that. That is not... I go around the country. This is not what you see in most of America. Most people do not want your run-of-the-mill politician right now.
Yep. You want to go ahead and take a call?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Susan, who's calling in California. Susan, line two, you're on the air.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hey.
The results of Bernie winning the presidency is going to be we're back to heavily regulated. Their taxes are going to increase again. Unemployment will most definitely be going up. And the education of our children will be destroyed even further. The ultimate result will be the whole country will be a California.
Well, and that's coming from someone in California. So, Susan, move. You can do it. It's fine. We know we have a lot of California listeners. So good for you guys for at least understanding the situation. But, you know, a lot of these policies are really good on paper. Not on paper, but really good concepts. I think Wes kind of talked at. When you look at it and you go, free healthcare, fantastic. You go, all my college debt, my loans are just evaporated into thin air. When you just hear those things, it doesn't sound bad. So no. I get it. In some ways, if you're a young voter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yesterday, he's calling for free childcare from birth to age four as well.
Full preschool and up to pre-K.
The thing I find disturbing, I'm a history buff, a history kind of guy. And Sanders over the weekend bragged on Fidel Castro and said he's not all that bad. This is the same guy who honeymooned in the Soviet Union. And here's the thing, Jay. I'm a history guy. Many of the promises being made by Bernie Sanders for the United States of America, if you look back to some of the things that were said and written, it's similar rhetoric and sometimes similar promises made by the Bolsheviks and the communists in 1917, by Adolf Hitler in 1933, by Fidel Castro in 1959, and recently in Venezuela. They were promising the people equality, you know, fairness. Everyone will have everything they need. The promises are quite similar. And as a history buff, Sanders alarms me partly because of that.
Yeah, I saw that Chris Matthews got criticized aggressively because he made a comment about the Nazi invasion of France. It was like the Bernie Sanders movement. And I think that is outrageous. I think Chris Matthews was wrong there. But
there was only three people watching, so it was no big deal.
Yeah, you're probably right. There was nobody
who
watching.
Who knew that show was still on the air?
I think he was commenting after the Nevada caucuses.
Yeah.
But if you look at socialism, and I'm going to Harry on this one, because Harry, you looked at the healthcare plan, which, like Logan said, free healthcare sounds great for everybody, except it doesn't work.
Absolutely. So one of the things that Bernie Sanders has going for him is authenticity. He is an authentic hard left Marxist. On the other hand, he likes to point out his sympathy for Canada and Denmark. So Bernie, for instance, keeps referring to life in Denmark. What he fails to note is that the Danes have the second highest antidepressant consumption in the world, the highest level of private debt in the world, the fourth highest per capita ecological footprint in the world, the highest taxes in the world, and to top it all off, the highest cancer rates in the world. That's number one. Number two, when Bernie talks about Canada, one of the things that he suggests is that Americans should have the same access to healthcare as the Canadians. Well, the Canadian healthcare experience demonstrates that government-run healthcare is not the answer. Canadians pay up to 51% more in taxes, yet out-of-pocket healthcare costs are close to what Americans pay, even though Canada covers only marginally more than the U.S. government. So what do we have left with in terms of Canadian healthcare? We have rationing. We have Canadians waiting 5 months for an MRI, waiting for urgent care. And guess what? in many cases, standing in lines in emergency rooms in Canada. And my wife is Canadian. We have absolutely done that in Canada.
Absolutely. And if you think that this is just hyperbole and talk, here is what Bernie Sanders said about his favorite
dictator.
Go ahead. I don't know his favorite. Yeah, he's a top 10. Let's go hear from Bernie.
We're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba. But, you know, it's unfair to simply say everything is bad. You know, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing? Even though Fidel Castro did it?
There's a lot of dissidents imprisoned in Cuba.
That's right. And we condemn that.
I mean, you're seeing that.
I can't even believe he said that.
Yeah, he tries to, like, calm it down at first. And be like, look, we all know Cuba. We're opposed to the fact that they're the authoritarian nature of Cuba. But, you know, they do some good things.
I mean, that goes back to the arguments that, you know, other dictators have done things that were, you know, not, besides killing people in mass, you know, mass
killings. Most dictators also led nations. So there clearly are always going to be some things that are good for the economy, good for whatever. But, you know,
well, that's like saying Germany's economy was great because they were in World War II.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
And millions and millions of people have died because of communism and its first cousin socialism over the years. And for him remember last year, Bernie Sanders refused to call the president, quote unquote, of Venezuela, refused to call him a dictator, even though he is oppressing his people. And it's become basically a socialist police state. This guy never seems to have met a dictator he didn't want to admire somewhat as long as they were socialist. And I find it very disturbing. It really is. He talks about all these programs without having the cost involved. It would wreck the economy, as Logan mentioned a minute ago. I was reading yesterday, the Green New Deal alone would cost more than the entire federal budget in 2019. And that's only one of the things that Bernie Sanders is supporting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is preposterous. I mean, but and there's a chance he wins. I mean, we'll talk about this coming in the next segment. Does he win South Carolina?
Yeah, and then it's over. I mean, I think that's going to be hard to ever. If you've won this much,
if Bloomberg fizzles, to talk about this.
But we only got one segment left, and I want to take a bunch of your phone calls. So 1-800-684-3110. We do have some lines open. Some of you guys didn't make it through the screening process. So here's what I'm going to say. You know what? Don't say a profanity because you're mad at Bernie Sanders to the phone screener. You won't make it on the air, but you will if you keep it clean, folks. We got FCC violations up in here. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today, as long as you don't curse. 1-800-684-3110, and we'll get your phone calls going. And hey, a bunch of my friends are watching. Hey, I'm back for today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the final segment of Jay Sekulow Live for your Monday. Hope you had a good weekend.
But Bernie Sanders did.
Bernie Sanders had a good weekend. And by the activity on our Facebook page with, you know, what, about 10,000 people watching on Facebook,
yeah,
and a million-ish listening, 2 million listening on air, I have a feeling a lot of people are wondering what's happening to not only the country, but what's happening around the world. We touched a little bit of that on what the ACLJ is doing. But we're going to take some phone calls. A lot of people have a lot of comments related to Bernie Sanders. And let's go first to Kevin in New Jersey. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, hey, how you doing? It's a good show, except I'm trying to figure out. I was watching the impeachment trials, and I saw Jay Sekulow lie several times. How can you sit right next to him?
Oh, what are you saying? Okay, I think you may be a little confused if you saw Jay Sekulow live during the impeachment trials, because Jay Sekulow was not on during the impeachment trials.
But we played a lot of
it. It was the show Jay Sekulow Live in title. But Than was co-hosting.
Yeah, but I came on.
You came on.
Like,
we have offices. We have studios in D.C., so you pop in on there. My brother was hosting. So if there's any confusion
also,
there, I'm sorry.
Also, remember something else. People may get kind of confused because you all played a lot of video of me while I was on the floor of the Senate. Broke into it even live.
I mean, that guy is he's thinking where. That's fine. Have fun, sir. Welcome back. Welcome back, Logan. Thanks. Great. Tracy in New York. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
You got to follow that. Go ahead.
Yeah, really. Thank you. I wanted to bring up the obvious notion that Bernie Sanders is 78 years old now, and by the time the elections come around, should he be the candidate, he'll be 79.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the running mate that he chooses is almost got to be equally as important as the candidate himself. In fact,
yeah,
that he's already had health issues up to now.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting.
And that became a topic during the debates, yeah, where health issues of the candidates and the fact they're getting up there. I mean, clearly someone who is.
Bernie had a heart issue. He had a heart attack, had stents. He did not. He released his cardiology report. He hasn't released others. Mike Bloomberg has had stents. I mean, you know, when you get up there in age, it does happen.
But I think that's a good point. It could be a young person as a running mate, just to maybe a more active vice presidential candidate than typical. I mean,
here's my question on that. I mean, because I think that's a good question. Is strategically, who does a Bernie Sanders pick? Does he pick Elizabeth Warren? That doesn't get him anything in the middle of the country. So who do you think he goes with, Harry, if he is the nominee? We're already assuming he's the nominee.
I don't think it's anybody in the field.
May not be.
Yeah, it may not be, and I think you're right about age, because age is clearly a factor, but equally we should note he did suffer a heart attack, and he got good private health care, and he recovered quite quickly, rather than waiting in long lines like my late Canadian mother-in-law, when she needed heart treatment in Canada. So one of the things to keep in mind is, on one hand, he disparages healthcare in the United States, but he's quite happy to take advantage of healthcare in the United States when it suits his purposes.
I wonder, though, you got Super Tuesday is 8 days away. You got the South Carolina is on Tuesday, on Saturday. If Joe Biden does not win South Carolina, we know that Buttigieg and Klobuchar are not winning South Carolina.
Right.
Okay. Bloomberg's not even in it. But let's take the ones that are in it. Warren's not winning it. How do they have the money to compete?
They don't. And I suspect Tom Steyer might be able to stay in it because he's self-funded largely like Bloomberg.
But he spent $15 million in Nevada and got 2%.
And I think he's spent an equal amount, if not greater, in South Carolina. And so if he goes down the tubes in South Carolina, then essentially he's paid a lot out of high-priced political consultants for the experience of expanding his name recognition, but he's not likely to go anywhere.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Monty on line 5. Monty, you're on the air.
Hi, Monty.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good.
Hey, so I got my question is, you guys were talking earlier about some of the people choosing to vote for Trump because they didn't like the other alternative. Is that something we need to be worried about this time around?
I would say absolutely. I think that that is a, to me, that is a concern that people are not talking about and they're brushing off. I think you had a large group of people that voted for Trump that were Bernie supporters. I know personally a lot of them. A lot of these people that were, it doesn't make any sense. And you start going, I don't really get it. But it's because a philosophy of being very anti-politician in general. Not that Bernie's not anti, he's been a career politician. But you're talking about someone who, anti-authority, who has a different kind of point of view, who has a more unique stance. And I think that's the concern. And people did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton. And so they made their choice to vote. I mean, they are kind of in a similar, I don't know, I think just in their personality, they both can be kind of tough and aggressive. And I think that doesn't help necessarily one or the other. When they go at it, I think it's going to be pretty clear. But I don't see a lot of Democrats voting for Trump. I don't see a lot of Republicans or any Republicans voting for Bernie. Right. So the question I wonder if it'll be at this point is like, where's that line?
Well, there's a good question that came in from Melissa on Facebook.
Okay.
Is there any, yeah, go ahead.
Is there any way that the DNC can refuse to make Sanders the nominee, even if he technically wins over the Democratic candidates? That was a question that came up too in the debates. And they're like, well, what if you don't get the majority? And pretty much everybody was like, well, maybe whatever. I think that's a terrible answer.
Yeah, the follow the rules means that it goes to the convention as a contested convention, Harry.
Absolutely. And then during the second round of the convention, then you would have...
they swap delegates. I mean,
yes, you could swap delegates. But then the Democrats have an initiative or a rule that allows so-called superdelegates to come into play in the second round. And more likely than not, if Jim Clyburn from South Carolina is any indication, the superdelegates may go for someone other than Sanders. This would then fracture potentially the Democratic Party. Also, down ballot candidates on the Democratic side, they're very worried because their voters would be concerned about the consequences. So how can you support someone who's going to destroy private health care for 150 to 180 million Americans and then replace it essentially with a pipe dream? And I think at the end of the day, when people start to look at pocketbook issues, I think Bernie will have a difficult road ahead.
Yeah, but if you don't go with the will of the people, you're talking about...
Oh, I think it'd be...
I think it's the same with Trump. They said that all the last time with Republicans. Like, what if they don't do it? What if they don't... Okay, I'm sorry. If you don't go with the will of the people, you are going to cause unrest and civil disobedience in this country like we haven't seen. And I mean that for Trump, and I mean that also for Bernie. So be careful when you start playing around with this. I think that is a really dangerous road to go on. People are active for both of these candidates, and they will take to the streets.
What do you think?
They are both disruptors. They have that in common. But on the other hand, I think many mainstream Democrats, and probably, truth be told, that's the majority of the party, not an overwhelming majority, like Jim Clyburn in South Carolina, they're very troubled by the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. And I understand why. There was a poll over the weekend that 67% of Americans say we are not ready for a socialist Democrat president.
All right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's broadcast. Thank you for all the call in. Sorry if we didn't get to you. Yeah, I have a radio show. We do an hour each and every weekday, early mornings at 5 a.m. If you're in the Orlando area on Florida Man Radio 105.5,
but you can stream
and 660, but you can stream it live, but you can also get it immediately after. So it's 6 a.m. Eastern. Subscribe in your favorite podcast, player or app. They're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you get it. LoganSeculoReprogram.com. You can also join our Facebook group where you can engage. We're only about 3 weeks in, so you can catch up on old episodes pretty easily.
Good to have you back.
It was fun. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.